across the border. We had no power. I think we've a bit of power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Warriors, the GA podcast for you, the 42 members. I'm Fintan O'Toole. This is episode 17, and we're focusing this week on hurling, as our guest is Limerick's Ollie Moran. So we're going to look back today at Ollie's playing career in our usual format. We've given him some time to pick his three favourite games, and he's going to explain to us why he made those choices. Gives us a chance to reflect on a career that began for Ollie in the Limerick senior hurling ranks back in 1987. Now, he joined at a time when the county was right up there amongst the elite in hurling, having contested the All-Ireland Senior Finals in 1984 against Offaly and 1986 against Wexford. But he himself would encounter plenty of struggles in trying to be successful up until the point that he retired from the Limerick squad at the end of the 2009 season. So there wasn't any major championship medals to show for his efforts, but he was recognised as one of the county's best and most consistent players during that time, capable of fitting in comfortably in the half-back line or the half-forward line. He won an All-Star Award at centre-forward in 2007, the same year that he played in the All-Ireland Senior Final when Limerick came up against Brian Cody's great Kilkenny team. Ollie also comes from a club in Ahan with a really rich tradition in hurling when you go back to the days of the legendary Mick Mackey to the 90s and 2000s when Ollie and his brothers James and Niall would have been flying the flag for them at club and county level, and up until the present day when you have the Morrissey brothers, Dan and Tom, key players for the current Limerick setup, and of course they were part of that memorable All-Ireland win over Galway in 2018. So there's lots to get through in our chat today, and we'll get straight to it. This is episode 17 of Warriors with Limerick's Ollie Moran.
How did you find the process of looking back at your hurling career and trying to pick three games?
I suppose you could argue it was easy enough. Find the good ones. It wasn't what you'd call an illustrious career in the sense of there wasn't loads of All-Ireland medals to talk about or Munster medals or anything. But I suppose, look, every fella has games that maybe came at a particular time or are of particular significance. So look, the games I picked weren't necessarily because they were games that I played well in, I suppose. There were games that I have particularly fond memories of, maybe for the occasion more so than how I actually played. But I just felt that in picking out the games, I wanted to look at one from the club, because I think the club for everyone is absolutely massive. It's where you start and finish. And, I was very lucky in that sense. And then I think, one game from maybe the early part of my career, and one game then for maybe the latter part of my career. The first game that I chose was actually the 1998 county final in Limerick against Patrick Swells. So
the green and gold, it's all over. And so ahead are the Limerick senior hurling champions of 1998. The final score here in the Gaelic grounds. Ahead, one goal and 11 points. Patrick Swells, 9 points.
Kind of that was one that was, I suppose, particularly fond for myself in that we hadn't won a county championship in Limerick since 1955. Han at the time had the most county championships won, along with Patrick Swell, who we were facing that day. So Patrick Swell pretty much had dominated Limerick club hurling from the 60s all the way up to the 90s. And I suppose, look, they're still obviously dominating Limerick hurling, but that day. And they were going for, I think, four in a row at the time, and they were going to go for 17 county championships. We were going, we were both on 16, but we came into that game as complete and utter underdogs. We hadn't been in a county final over that time span as well. So at the time, I was only about 22, and we had a very young team. And it was just, I suppose, a massive occasion locally in that we'd be seen as a traditional powerhouse in Limerick hurling, but it obviously been in the doldrums for quite a while. So there was a massive crowd there on the day. I think there was definitely up on over 10,000. I don't think there's been a crowd at it since in a Limerick county final. So it was a fantastic day, a beautiful day, and we just came out, and it was just one of those days when I think everything went our way for us. I suppose maybe it was written in the it was just written in our destiny that day to win it. But it was just a very look, the game itself was actually very mediocre. It was poor enough. I think it was 111-9 points we won the game by, but I just felt that in terms of the memories, you know, from that day, the occasion, I think the outpouring of emotion, because there were so many people that thought they'd never again see Ahan win a county championship. And, you know, for a young group like us, I think we just reveled in it. Like, it was just a day I'll never forget. You know, you see all your parents coming out, all your friends, all the people you've grown up with, all your coaches. And look, you know, not being overly sentimental about it, but people talk about the club, like, and I think the club is the be-all and end-all. We were very lucky in that we came into a time in the club when we had a lot of families and a lot of very good players who all just came together all at once. And we just had a great run. Like, you know, we won the following year in 99 and we won another one in 2004. Could have won maybe three or four others in those years as well. But, you know, we were very lucky in that we won county championships and had a, you know, a relatively successful run at it. So for me, that was a massive day. I don't think anything probably ever came close to that, just in terms of the emotional side of it and just the euphoria and just the week even we had after it as well. I just think it was just unbelievable for us. We went up, you know, we went on holidays that year afterwards as well, and the whole parish came on holidays with us, you know what I mean? So for me, that was a massive thing. And for a lot of us, it probably springboarded our inter-county careers then as well, because we were just starting off maybe at inter-county level, and that was a huge fillip for us as well.
So the context here, I mean, you're talking about the tradition. I suppose looking in from the outside, like Ahan are a club that jump out at you at Limerick. I mean, it is the exploits of someone like Mick Mackey, in the same way that, you know, people talk around the country maybe about Glen Rovers with Christy Ring. I mean, growing up, like, were you just constantly hearing stories about the great days of, like, you know, the 30s, 40s and 50s when they were so dominant?
Yeah, like, and that's exactly it, Fintan. Like, I suppose ordinarily winning the county is massive, but, like, we'd spent our entire youth being surrounded by people and, you know, particularly older people who had, you know, 10, 12, 13 county medals, and, you know what I mean, it was taken as a given. Our parish was known for two things, hurling and fishing, you know what I mean? And they were world famous for fishing, not quite world famous for hurling, but, like, you know, they were famous in all parts of Ireland. And I know Niall's godfather was a man called Mick Hickey, who was a famous publican. He'd won All-Ireland medals with Limerick. He'd won numerous Munster medals as well, county medals, league medals. You know, he'd won the whole thing. So, like, we were raised, you know, he used to come up to the house and he talked to us about all the great players they had, the Mackeys, the Jackie Powers, the Timmy Rines, you know, all really, really famous players of that era. So, as I said, Ahan were probably very unlucky maybe in the 70s and 80s in that they met very good teams like South Liberties and maybe a really good Patrick's Well team and hadn't made the breakthrough. But, you know, for us, you know, that's, you know, we were consumed by it. We'd been hearing about it every time we went down to the field. You were always being compared to teams that existed 40, 50 years ago, you know what I mean? So it was a legacy, I suppose, but it was something that needed to be corrected too.
Like, the context you talk about Patrick's Well, there's a line I was reading in one of the match reports that the Patrick's Well starting lineup for that game had 70 county senior medals between them. And all of your players were searching for your first one, because obviously they were going at the time for four in a row. I mean, you know, Gary Kirby, Kieran Carey, they're, you know, two of the big names that nationally would have been recognised, but the starting side seems kind of littered with guys that were kind of big names for Limerick senior hurling. So it wasn't just the big gap you had to overcome. Like, you were taking on the absolute kingpins of Limerick hurling at that time.
No, absolutely. And I suppose that was, you know, it was, they had this aura of invincibility about them, and they were, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just their big names. Like, they had players that had, again, 7, 8, 9 county medals that wouldn't be household names, but that were very, very well known in Limerick circles. Like, so they were formidable, and they had a very good, and still have a very good youth structure. So, like, you know, they were kingpins, and for a lot of people, they were just, you know, they were like Kilkenny, I suppose, in their pomp as well, and that teams were just nearly beaten before they ever went out. But the one advantage I think we had was that we had a very good mix of kind of experienced guys that had been on the road a while, but we had a lot of really young fellas coming through that had absolutely no fear of them and their names and saw the challenge. And I suppose that was a great thing maybe in a way, in that had we gone out kind of, you know, in all of them, chances are we would have been beaten like a lot of other teams. But that day in particular, we went out and we just took on all their big players as well, and probably negated their big players more so than anything else. And, you know, like, they'd been on the road a while too. They were used to having it their own way. But look, just on that day in particular, we just got our matchups right. I think everything went our way. And as some people said, maybe it was just destiny. It was just written in the stars for us at the time. But yeah, look, I suppose it was just extra sweet in that, you know, you're beating the team that were definitely the best team in Limerick during that time frame.
So you were starting centre back that day, and your brother James was midfield, and Niall would obviously later join you in the yes. starting 15. And like, you won, I think it was three county titles over maybe a 7-season period. So like, it's the start of a really special time for the club and for you, I suppose, at home in the family.
Yeah, like, you know, it was, and again, in the context of what had gone on in the previous 43 years, we hadn't been to a county final even, you know what I mean? So like, I think six county finals in our time span with the club, like, which was, you know, it's all relative, you know what I mean? Adair came on a couple of years later and won five or whatever. They hadn't won any, like, but for, look, I suppose the point being, for anyone to get to that level with your club, it's the holy grail for every club. I know it's great to want to win Munster clubs and All-Ireland clubs if you're lucky enough to do that, but it's so difficult to win a county championship anywhere at all. And I think even talking to guys that have multiple All-Irelands, they'll all tell you to win a county championship with your own club is just something extra special for that unique reason. Like, again, you know, it's not going to be front page news on the national newspapers the following day, but it's, you know, within the parish, it's massive. And for us, that was such a huge, huge thing. There was the relief of it. But, you know, you talk about, you know, when Jack Charlton died recently and people are reminiscing about the 1990 World Cup, and, like, you know, you talk to people in the parish, they'll all tell you what happened the week before and the week after we won that 98 county championship, because it was, you know, it was such a really, really special time. As I said, the game itself, it was probably largely forgettable. There was nothing fantastic about the game. Like, 111-9 points, you know, wasn't setting kind of pulses racing or anything at all like that. But again, the reason I chose that game was maybe it was for the just the uniqueness of the occasion and how special it was, both for us as a family, and but like certainly for the community, because you know, we're all involved in the club. I'm very involved in the club at home as well, and I feel it's only right that you get involved and that you give back and that you want to try and recreate games like that and days like that for the next generation, because it's only when they experience it they'll really appreciate how special it actually is, regardless of how they progress in their own intercounty careers, if they're lucky enough to get that far.
You mentioned how great the celebrations were. Where did you all head off to? You were saying the whole community nearly went on holidays together, was it?
Come here, look, was, you know, we're talking about social distancing at the moment, like, and we were literally in on top of one another for a week. I remember just leaving the dressing room afterwards. Like, there was just, I'd say the whole parish was kind of stuck into the dressing room. You know, went out to the local, you know, where else do you go to celebrate? Only the pub at the time. But I remember just even, look, stuff like the car procession around the village, like the village just came to a halt, like everyone came out of their houses or whatever, like, and you couldn't get down the main street in the village. And, you know, it was like, I suppose the first day or two, you know, it was just sinking in, you know, it wasn't necessarily the pubs or whatever, even going to the schools the following day, and the, you know, the schools were just back at the time. You know, I'd say the whole place just followed from. We actually had an open top bus procession around the village, I'll never forget, on the Monday night. At that stage now, there was, maybe fellas were just getting into the swing of things celebration-wise. And I just remember it was a beautiful balmy evening or whatever. And, you know, the whole parish was literally lined with people with kind of club flags, green and gold flags. And I think we all, it kind of hit us at the time then, geez, this is actually, it's massive. Again, you know, outside of the parish, it was just another, you know, it was nothing really. But within the parish, it was such a huge, huge thing, and I suppose for a lot of us it just gave us our love, you know, of the club. It just reinforced that love of the club that we probably all had. We, you know, we'd been lucky enough growing up, we'd kind of won a couple of counties at minor level and whatnot, but like nothing ever compared to that. Like, but the thing about it was, well, we didn't want it to be a one-off. We wanted to make sure that, look, we build on it, because, you know, looking back in hindsight now, you have these kind of, eras when you're, you know, you have good teams come along and you want to try and make the most of it. So I suppose deep down, we probably knew ourselves that we had a lot of players that were maybe coming to the end of their career, and we, you know, we had to get the most we possibly could for their sakes as well. Like, but yeah, look, come here, just as I said, great memories of that occasion and that time. And I suppose that really was the game that kind of sparked it off, really.
So that's kind of a really lovely local story, and kind of you've brilliant memories of your time with Ahan from that game. Your second selection then is one of maybe a bit more national prominence.
Yeah, so the second game I picked was from the 2001 Munster Championship, and we played Cork in Páirc Uíomh, and beat Cork. You probably have the score, Fintan. I think it was 116-115.
Yeah, absolutely. You had that right.
That's what it was. Yeah. I wasn't sure 115 or 140. I knew it was one of those anyway. But okay. So, it's always great to win any Munster Championship match. And I suppose there's a couple of reasons why I chose this game. I suppose the first one was that 2001 Munster Championship. Actually, Tip ended up beating us in the Munster final that year. We beat Waterford in a brilliant game semi-final. But you know, maybe now I suppose have rose-tinted glasses on this one, but it was a fantastic Munster Championship. Like, I'll never forget, it was an old-style Munster Championship. It was pure knockout. Once you were beaten, you were gone. Okay, obviously the Munster finalists stayed in, but it was pure knockout. So there was an awful, you know, cut and thrust to that Munster Championship. All the games that year, from recollection, I think were played in Cork as well, in Páirc Uíomh, and every day seemed to be an absolute scorcher of a day. And I remember, you know, it wasn't a particularly warm summer, but every day that year was, or every day we went out and played Munster Championship that year was particularly warm. So it had the real feel of a Munster Championship. And I suppose of all the grounds I ever played, I think Páirc Uíomh was my favourite, the old Páirc Uíomh, because, you know, it was just this dust bowl or whatever that the crowd were in on top of you.
That's interesting, because it used to get criticised a lot, but a lot of players have talked about that. The actual pitch itself to play on it was an unbelievable atmosphere.
Absolutely, and I suppose there was something, you know, people often mentioned the gladiatorial element of it, and it was, like, you know what I mean, you got changed in this kind of you know, it was like a big back kitchen, really, you know what I mean, and everyone was on top of one another, and it was a sweat box, but you went in, and actually that day as well was probably famous because the Cork players got caught in traffic that day. I suppose, looking back, again, you talk about the county final, like that particular day, it was written in the stars for us, because I think Cork had an injury the night before. Sean O'Gohalpine had been involved in a car accident. He would have been a central player for them. He was withdrawn from the game. But I remember the game was on in Cork, and there was a massive, massive crowd, probably bigger than they expected, going down to that match. And Cork players got caught on the way down, so they literally came into the ground very, very late on. So I suppose that wasn't ideal preparation for them. They'd had a new manager in place. Tom Cashman was a manager for them. So
yeah, it was actually his only championship game in charge, because he'd been a selector under Jimmy Barry Murphy, and that was the only season that he was in charge as manager.
There you go. Like, you know what I mean? So look, a good hurling guy like Tom Cashman, was unfortunate, but Cork also were Munster champions from 2000. Probably should have won the All-Ireland, I would argue, maybe in 2000. Offaly obviously went on But Offaly beat Cork, I think, in the All-Ireland semi-final that year, and probably one of the best games I ever saw. So Cork were going in really the hottest of hot favourites. We'd had a dreadful league. We got hammered by Clare, I remember, about maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I think that was the year of Foot and Mouth as well. So we played Clare inside the Gaelic grounds on a Thursday evening. We got an absolute licking inside there off Clare. Like, so our form, you know, in the face of it, would have been very, very poor coming into that game. Like, so we weren't given a chance. But the only thing, and I suppose the reason why it's of particular significance in my career, was because, like, we actually, from the time we got beaten by Clare, we kind of went into just retreat mode, and, you know, we did, a lot of hard questions were being asked. I know the manager at the time, Eamon Cregan, questioned a lot of guys, and I think that hit a nerve with fellas as well. And, you know, we were being questioned openly in the public as well. And I remember we just kind of rallied the troops and for about a 5 week period, we trained harder than I'd say we ever trained. Like, we just abandoned everything and we just went to, it was almost like hand to hand combat inside and training every single night. And I remember fellas being black and blue coming out of training, and there was no, you know, like, it's the way it should be too. There was no questions asked. The fella got a belt, he got up and he got on with it and he hit back. And, you know, I suppose the game then was starting to change as well, in that it was probably pre the great Cork team that, you know, introduced the running game. And I suppose I would argue probably changed the landscape in hurling, but this was still kind of man on man gladiatorial type hurling. So I remember going down to Cork that day. We were full of confidence, but we weren't being given a chance anywhere. I think even the most ardent Limerick supporters had kind of dismissed us, but there was still a good Limerick crowd had travelled down, because I think Limerick enjoy going to Cork. Like, but I remember just the day itself, just a roasting warm day. But I suppose the big reason why, you know, I have such good memories. It's like, it was probably in my time in Limerick, we had a lot of bad days, but I remember for half an hour that day, it was, I don't think any team in the country would have lived with us. Like, we just absolutely opened up on Cork. We just, you know, everything, our hurling was really crisp and quick. We were one step ahead of them everywhere. We seemed to have an advantage everywhere in the field. You know, we were scoring points at will. We were economical in our use of the ball. I think everything we did for that maybe 30-minute spell, it probably gave us a platform. And I think Cork were just absolutely stunned. Probably, I think everyone was stunned the way we heard, because that you know, we just threw the form guide out the gap for that particular game. But there was just you know, a buzz that day. And, like, you know, people often comment on kind of Limerick having this 16th man, but, like, you know, when Limerick show any signs at all of playing well, or a bit of passion starts coming in, the crowd just absolutely coming behind you as well. And that's what I remember. It was just, the crowd got louder and louder, and you know, the game just took off. Like, it was kind of, you know, like, and the game itself, look, there were probably many memorable events. Like, people will remember obviously Dermot O'Sullivan's famous point that day. Like, you know, Cork really rallied in the second half of that game. I think they just got, you know, they were a quality team. They were a really, really class outfit. They got themselves together. They made a couple of positional switches, and we were completely on the back foot then, I think, for most of the second half. I think Alan Brown maybe scored a goal for Cork as well. And, you know, they class players, Jodine, Shawnee McGrath, Mark Landers, you know, real, real kind of class players all over the field. But, you know, it came down to then a sideline in the last minute. We got a sideline, a hard-earned sideline, and Barry Foley, to his credit, you know, popped over an absolutely brilliant sideline win. At the time, it was unique enough for fellas to be scoring sidelines, but that was the sideline that ultimately won the game for us. But I suppose it was a Munster Championship. We hadn't actually won a Munster Championship match in my time since 1998, I think, as well. So it was extra special from that point of view, and that we were kind of coming up short all of the time. But I just remember again that, you know, Limerick hadn't beaten, I don't think anyone had beaten Cork in their home patch. Sorry enough, Fintan, to be bringing this one up for you, but
I think it was since ye Limerick had actually beaten them quite comprehensively in JBM's first game in charge in 96, I think it was.
Was it? Sorry. Yeah. Was that in Cork or Limerick? That was in Limerick, though, wasn't it? No, it was actually in Limerick in a real wet day, I think, in 96, right. Whatever. But I don't think anyone had beaten Cork at home, maybe since they played in the old Athletic Grounds. Again, some of the experts now will confirm that. But look, you know, it was always a fortress for any Cork team. You know, for all teams to go down to Cork, you'd have to be extra special to kind of beat them. So I just think maybe the circumstances, they were Munster champions, probably unlucky not to win All-Irelands or to win the All-Ireland in 2000. And it was just, I suppose, especially from the point of view that we produced a really, really brilliant display for, as I said, for 30 minutes, and we're probably hanging on for dear life then for a finish. But we still went toe-to-toe with them. But I just remember even the crowd and the atmosphere. That whole year, the atmosphere down in Cork was just extra special. Like, you know, we went down, we played Waterford, which was probably a very, very special game as well. We beat Waterford down there, and probably very unlucky not to beat Tip in the Munster final in 2001. But I think just for the way, you know, to go in as underdogs like that, and to be, I think we were 5 or 6 to 1 to win that match at the time, you know, because our form was, you know, we had a really weak league at the time, and just, you know, to play a formidable Cork team in their own back garden and beat them, I think was really, really special.
Kieran Carey leaving it there for James Moran, up towards his brother Ollie. Score of 2 fine points in the first half. Dermot O'Sullivan here, coming out like a tank. Lifting the crowd, and he's put it over the bar. What an amazing point by the fullback.
If that doesn't lift Cork, nothing will. He came through like a JCB, and he shouldered out on his way. A fantastic score.
You mentioned the 2 points there. I have to bring you back to them. I was looking back at the footage. I hadn't realised you inadvertently provided the assist for the Dermot O'Sullivan point. I think you got the ball in the right wing, sent it in, and then he came tearing out with it. Like, you know, and it's funny. Like, obviously Cork lost that game, but it's kind of, I suppose, maybe similar to the Maurice Fitzgerald football point later that year. It's one of those scores. It's kind of iconic. It lives with people.
Absolutely, yeah. And come here, and that is the word. It's iconic. Like, I think everyone remembers where they were when they saw. You know, you talk about Maurice Fitzgerald's point against Dublin. Like, this was the very same. Like, everyone. But I often meet Sully, whatever, and I often say, Jesus, you know what I mean? If I'd only known, then I was going to make a superstar out of you. You know, I'd hit it somewhere else. Like, you know what I mean? But actually, I gave two really good passes that day. I gave one pass for James D. Butler, scored an unbelievable goal in the first half that day. And I'm very proud of that, but that gets no attention at all. Like, it's always the second pass to Sully. And I wouldn't mind at that stage. I think, you know, I'd won a good ball on the sideline that day or whatever. And, you know, I think turned on to my left and gave a perfect ball, or so I thought, into our full forward line. Nice low hopping ball. It's kind of the ball fullbacks hate and full forwards love. And next thing I say, you see this bull coming out. Like, but you do, like, actually, do you know what? I can nearly remember the game that in slow motion. Like, you nearly knew the second he had nothing. He was such a determined individual anyway, but he came out and took his 3 or 4 steps. I think it was Jack Foley in front of him, who was a strong man in his own right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, of all the fellas to not go over, Jack Foley would probably be way down the list of probable, I suppose, victims, you know what I mean? But he just met a man possessed, bowled him over, and sure, the rest is history, you know what I mean? It was an absolutely iconic point, as you said. I don't think that's, you know, people talk about maybe Kieran Carey's point against Clare in 96.
96, yeah.
Up there with it, but this, I think, just for skill, for determination, for strength. But yeah, like, you know, everyone remembers that day. It was just, look, the colour as well, like, you know, Limerick's green, Cork's red, you know, the place was awash with colour down there that day. But I think, I suppose the reason maybe I'm being sentimental maybe about that game is because it was old style Munster Championship. Like, it was, you know, it was man on man, it was combat, you had to win your own position. Like, you know, not dismissing from Munster Championships now, but I think Munster Championships of recent times have lacked that kind of same degree of cutting edge that was there then. You know what I mean? It was sink or swim back then. It was, you know, it was kill or be killed. You know what I mean?
The obvious contrast, I suppose, is last year. You know, when Limerick played Cork in the Gaelic grounds, Limerick lost. But given the system, you know, you just regroup, you recover, and within 5 weeks, they were Munster champions. Whereas this was the year, as you said, Limerick were trying to avoid losing the first round for the fourth year in a row.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure you would have loved loads of times when you lost the Munster Championship game to have a chance to, you know, correct the record maybe a week or two later, but instead you had to kind of stew in it for 12 months.
No, absolutely. And come here, you're 100% right. Like, I think you ask every player, they'll all tell you, you know, the present system, and I'm a huge advocate of the present system. The present system is definitely the way to go. Unfortunately, this year we won't have that. But you know, so I'm all for that. The only flip side of it is that age that was there back then. And you ask any of the older players, and they'll all tell you, like, you know, you go down to Thurles or Cork or Killarney or any of these places or play in Limerick, you know, everything hinges on this 70 minutes. Whereas that's not the case. Certainly now, when, you know, you alluded there to the Cork game last year, and even Limerick playing Tip and Thurles last year, like, Limerick still went on and romped the Munster Championship, but, you know, they took two, I would say, harmless enough beatings against Tip and Cork, which you couldn't do. And, you know, that really great Cork team, they would have come back into qualifiers probably twice the team they were the day we played them, you know what I mean? But I suppose we played them on a day when things didn't go well for them, but everything happened for us. And you know, look, people often underestimated the players we had. Like, we had quality players that were probably unlucky not to have won All-Irelands in 94 96. Like, you know, the likes of Steve McDonagh, Kieran Carey were still around in 2001, and they were just huge figures in the dressing room at the time. For you know, I was only what, about 20, 20, 25, 26 playing that match. So, you know, still relatively young. So like, these were massive figures in the dressing room. So to have those guys have their experience still around, which a lot of really, you know, we had that famous under 21 team that won in 2000, 2001 and 2002, like they were starting to come to the fore. So, you know, if you came away from Cork that day, you'd say, you know, the only way is up for Limerick. If they can go toe-to-toe with a Cork team of this quality and beat them in their own back garden. It was just unfortunate, I think, the way that year worked out. We were beaten in the Munster final and just went down really tamely then to Wexford in the All-Ireland semi-final, or the All-Ireland quarter-final, sorry, in 2001. But again, just for a one-off game, I just think that game was just unforgettable. But look, again, I suppose, as I said, Cork being part of the old Park Cueve was such a, it was such an atmosphere down there anyway, and such an atmosphere. But that day and all the days in 2001, I think you often talk to people in Cork and they'll tell you like the place just came alive for 2001, you know what I mean? It was just a great, great time.
It certainly did. Just before we move on, I think we should probably pay a bit more credit to the winning point, because I'm trying to think, there hasn't been probably too many Munster Championship games that have been settled by a sideline. I mean, I watch it back, like, it's kind of almost on his wrong side, if you know, you could imagine it. I mean, like, was Barry the type of guy, like, when he lined up that, did you expect him to get it? Was he kind of putting him over previously, or was he kind of known as a bit of a sideline expert?
Do you know, in hindsight, I couldn't tell you, was he just the fella closest to it? He wouldn't have been known as, I suppose your go-to man for every sideline in the manner that maybe a Ronan Maher or a Joe Canning would be sideline experts. So, you know, I've no recall, possibly he did, I'm sure he did. You know, look, it's like all guys kidding around before training or after training. You give about 20 minutes, you know, hitting sidelines for the fun of it more so than anything else. Other than that, I've no real recall of whether Barry was out. I'm sure he must have been, you know what I mean? But I suppose the beauty of Barry was he was such a cool character that nothing would have fazed him anyway. So he may as well have been in Patrick's Well pucking around on his own. Like he wouldn't have ever, you know, it was never a case of, you know, kind of the game is hinging on this, because I think there was a good few minutes left in the game. So no one knew at the time that this was going to be kind of the last puck of the ball. It certainly wasn't the last puck of the ball on that particular day. But just even the way, like, you know, he didn't catch all of it. Like if you look back on it, it was well struck. But it barely, like I just think the crowd willed the ball over the line or over the bar that particular day, because it just kind of crept over. Like, but you know, had it been another maybe, I'd say 3 or 4 inches lower, Don Lowe probably would have caught it. Like, you know what I mean? But it was just slightly beyond his reach. So I think from that point of view, he'll always go down in history as scoring the winning point in Cork.
It's a nice thing to be remembered for.
Yeah.
That's the May 2001 Munster quarterfinal. So Limerick won 116 to 115. So Ollie, your final selection, you talked about 2001 being a memorable hurling summer. I think you're going to pick one from another kind of season to remember in Limerick colours.
No, it was. And look, I suppose if I was going to pick out any year, any game, it'd be remiss of me not to pick out one from the 2007. You could have picked out any of the three games, really, from the 2007 trilogy against Tipperary, but the one I chose was the first replay. And again, for no other reason other than, you know, not because of the quality of the match, but because, I suppose, of the circumstances as well at the time. And just by way of background again, I think 2007, we had a new manager in place. Richie Bennis was the manager. And, you know, so from that time in 2001, we'd had a history of kind of bad run-ins with managers. Not bad run-ins. Look, I think it was a two-way street. I think players didn't exactly cover themselves in glory, or we as players didn't cover ourselves in glory. But, you know, so kind of the years were starting to move on at this stage. On a personal level, I was almost 32. So kind of, you know, I knew it was coming to the end of my career. So a new manager was coming in on board, Richie Bennis. Again, a hugely regarded figure in Limerick GAA, had won All-Ireland medals in 73, Munster medals, league medals, and, you know, really, really well known, a very, very popular figure in Limerick. So he'd come in. So the draw was made, and who were we playing? Only Tipperary. And I think in the years previous to 2007, we played Tip quite a bit. And unfortunately, on every occasion, we'd come out on the wrong side of championship matches against Tip, like, so I suppose, you know, I won't say we built up a fierce rivalry with them, because, you know, they were winning all the time, So we just felt that, look, if we're going to make any kind of impression, the draw was made, first round against Tipperary. It was time to, as the man says, you know, manure got off the pot, like, you know what I mean? It was really, really a huge game for us. So the league that year, I remember, he took me aside and he said, look, we're looking at you as a centre forward. And to be honest, would you look at that point in my career, I said, look, any position is better than no position at all. So I kind of played a couple of league matches, had a mixed bag, really. But I think as a team, I think we'd really targeted. I remember we went on a weekend away to Bray for a training weekend. And again, it was just a really, really great weekend training wise. And, you know, just the level of focus on that particular, I think it was June the 10th or whatever. I'm not sure. It was June the 10th on 2007. We played Tip. So
yeah, that was the first game. You have the date right, yeah.
Yeah. So that day as well, Tip probably should have beaten us out of sight. We'd had a man sent off, but we had kind of stuck at it. We got a goal in the last minute. Pat Tobin scored a great goal, and that kind of it forced a replay. I think the following Thursday night, then against Tipperary in their back garden in Thurles. And I think Tip probably should have won the first day. They had Babs Keaton over them, and John Lahey was involved in them as well. So I remember it was a dull enough kind of a night. Conditions wise, wasn't particularly great, and for three quarters of that game, actually more. You know, Tip, I think, went in, was it maybe, you probably know this thing, probably maybe...
Yeah, just looking here, like the score lines are kind of remarkable for the way it turned out. So like at halftime, Tip are ahead 112 to 5 points.
Yes.
After 55 minutes, they're ahead 117 to 11. And with 5 minutes left in normal time, they're ahead 119 to 112.
112, yeah. Yeah. You're like
it's amazing what happened then. Like, can you take us through the last 5 minutes? Because you're absolutely central to this with the
scoring. So, you know, people talk about the halftime speech or whatever, like, and that, you know, I remember Carrie at the time gave us a couple of home truths and was certainly very positive. Like, but like we were, you know, people forget we were as far behind almost at 55 minutes as we were at 35 minutes. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like we turned around and kind of paid back a lead, because we just couldn't lay a finger on Tip the same day. Like Tip, we were just hanging in for dear life. And I think Leicester Limerick teams definitely would have just fallen away, and we probably would have shipped a fairly big beat. But I think because of the level of determination that was in the team at the time, that we, you know, there was just a sense of never say die. So, as I said, I think we'd gotten a goal or whatever, but that we just couldn't generate any momentum that day against Tipperary. So, like famously, then I think was it 65 on 65 minutes we were 7 points down. I think so. At that stage, there was 5 minutes left on the clock, and probably whatever the referee was going to add. So there was probably maybe 7 minutes left. But it wasn't like we were kind of playing very well and 7 points down. And it wasn't like it was an open game where 7 points would be nothing. Like, this was a dour enough kind of, you know, real, real, real tough kind of a game against Tip. But Tip were clearly the better team. They were, you know, had the upper hand all over the field. I think a goal at that point would have really killed us off. So, and actually they had a couple of chances maybe to really kill us off. But look, I think on a personal level, you know what I mean? I was marking Conor Mahoney that day, who was a really, really tough opponent, and I just couldn't break free of him for the entire game. And, you know, he was only, I think, in his first or second year playing championships, so maybe there was that little bit of greenness there. But as the game went on, I picked up one or two balls and, you know, just started to get a little bit of momentum going personally. Next thing, I think James O'Brien, I think, scored a really good point. Kevin Tobin possibly scored a good point, who had come on as subs. So now all of a sudden we were starting to eat into that. That seven became six, it became five, it became four. Then I remember getting a really, really good run. It's probably, you know, every player in any sport dreams of kind of getting a run of form when literally everything happens to you. Like, you know, I often said to people afterwards, if I went to the dressing room that day, the ball would have followed me out there. Like, it was just one of those days when absolutely everything happened, and every ball that I went to just landed in my hand, and everything I struck went over the bar.
Tony Ryan underneath it. Andrew Shocknessy there too. Brian Begley tries to get there, but it's Tipperary that almost clear the danger. But they have it. Ollie Moran coming through, tries to make an angle for himself, shoots and sends it over the bar. What a finish in Simple Stadium. 4 points on this particular Saturday evening, 5 points last Sunday. Is there an equaliser? Limerick 30, 40 seconds away from the final whistle. What's it going to be?
Well, great heart again there by Ali Morden, and one time between them, and possession is crucial now from this puck out.
At that stage then, I think we brought it back to about a point. I think Shocks won a brilliant free, won a ball, I think, with literally the last play of the game. And he took on his men and got her free, maybe about 21 yards out. Like, so, you know, it'd be a bread and butter point, but the tension at the time, like, you know, I mean, the crowd at this stage, I suppose, like, this is the bit that you'll never forget. It's just the place was absolutely electric at the time. I think half the Tipperary crowd and the Limerick crowd had probably headed back out to try and beat the traffic, because, you know, it was game over. But I think then people were streaming back into the ground, which was gas altogether. And you know, word or lore has it that half the crowd had to listen to the game outside because they weren't letting them back into the pitch or whatever. Like, so
for extra time, yeah.
Yeah, so like, this was even before extra time even happened, like, because we just pinged it back point by point, and the more points you got, the louder the crowd got. And I think you can see Tip then were just waning, like, we just, you know, I suppose the great thing in sport is when you get just a burst of momentum like that and everything kind of happens for you, and everything happened for us that day. But I think a lot of it was because, as I said, lesser Limerick teams would have been beaten handily that day, but I think because there was such a sense of determination and spirit, and I think Richie, you know, indoctrinated that into us, like, he brought that level of spirit and passion, and I think we, you know, they were really the hallmark of his career as well. And he was such a popular guy, like, I think everyone loved him in the dressing room too. He was unconventional, he was unorthodox, like, he certainly wouldn't class himself as being kind of one of these guys that spent hours and hours up looking at kind of tactics or all that kind of crack. But by the same token, that's not to take, he was a very, very shrewd hurling man, you know what I mean? But he just had this personality, this infectious personality and belief. And I know personally, you know, he'd make you believe in yourself when you know, he had belief in you when maybe a lot of us didn't have belief in ourselves, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think all that came to the fore for that last 10-15 minutes. It was probably just, I think Limerick people will always, you know, when they talk about the trilogy, I think that's the most memorable part of the whole lot of it, was that maybe 7 or 8 minute segment, because it just brought you to a place where you might never again get in sport. Again, there was no trophy on offer for it, and we didn't even win the game. Like, you know what I mean? People forget that, like, that it went into extra time, and that Tip again.
And Shaughnessy was the kind of saviour again from
he did, and again, you talk about the Dermot O'Sullivan point in 2001, but there was a very famous incident at the end that, again, I think we were all out in our feet at that stage, and there was a ball on the sideline. I remember, but I can't remember who I was jostling with. I think it could possibly have been Philip Maher or someone else on the Tip team. And I remember we were all so tired, literally. The ball hopped off one of us. We got to 65. I remember Brian Gavin was refereeing. He went to the linesman or the umpire. The umpire, I'd say, hadn't a clue. So I think... I remember getting a word in Brian's ear. I said, Brian, sure, I couldn't have come off me or whatever. And I remember we got awarded at 65. It turned out to be very debatable at the time, but again, Shocks. He was nerveless, threw the ball over the bar from the 65, and that forced famously the second replay then back in Limerick. But I just remember even you know, Richie went and he hugged Babs Keaton afterwards. They would have had many battles over their time hurling against one another. So you know, it was just a really memorable time. Again, Tip probably, well, they didn't lose the game that day, but ultimately they came out the wrong side of it, like, but just a really, really memorable occasion.
Yeah, and like, your family wise you were kind of so central to this. I mean, you scored 5 points from play, and I was reading, like, your brother Noel came off halfway through the second half, came back on an extra time, he gets 3 points in play. Yeah. And then the other side of the pitch, your first cousin, Owen Kelly, he's getting 9 points. So, like, you're completely central to the scoring run throughout this match.
He was, and I suppose even like to tell you a story about it. Like, that time we went up to Braithwaite on the Players' Weekend away, like, and, you know, at that stage we knew we were playing Tip, and everyone was asked, like, you know, why do you want to beat Tipperary? Like, and you see, look, the gas part about it was, fellas, you know, Limerick and Tip always would have had this rivalry, and Tosnau was the best rivalry in a lot of places. But like, for me, you know, we spent all our summers in Tipperary, we were raised in Tipperary, we had great friends in Tipperary, all our relations were tipped. So we'd have had very, very fond memories. And of course, after every match, then generally you'd always meet your aunts or your uncles. They'd always be outside, win, lose or draw, which was a lovely thing. But I remember saying to the lads, I said, lads, I am damned if I'm going to walk out of it. It was the Gaelic grounds that I'm damned if I'm going to walk out of Gaelic grounds, meet all my relations with a big sorry head in me because Limerick were after being beaten again. Like, and you know what I mean? So I suppose that was my motivation for no other reason other than I just couldn't face all my relations again, having been beaten by Tipperary, because, you know, my mother had moved from Tipperary to Limerick all those years ago, whatever. So I suppose it was extra special, you know, whenever we played Tipperary around the time. But yeah, look, sure, Owen was a quality player. Like, you know, he was probably unlucky in the sense of his best years for Tipperary were probably when Tipperary weren't certainly at their peak, and he was almost single-handedly beating teams on his own or certainly taking the fight to every other team. So you know, like, we always, we'd meet before the game and we'd have the laugh or whatever, and as I said, we'd meet afterwards. And, you know, his brother Paul as well was just such an exceptional hurler, and you know, they had such a love of Tipperary hurling. Like, you see, again, in terms of context, I talk about Tipperary, like, when we were young, Fintan, like, we were brought to every Tipperary match.
Okay.
To the point where we, you know, we nearly had an identity crisis when we started getting older, like, we Tip or Limerick, like, you know what I mean? Because my dad was Tipperary as well, so I suppose, look, Tip, you know, the green or the blue and gold was such a famous short then as well, that that it was the only time in my career when we actually beat Tipperary in a championship match, ultimately in the Gaelic grounds. But I think that day, from a family perspective as well, I think was really special. Like, and they'd never begrudge it either. Like, they'd only be too happy to see kind of Limerick going on. And I think every one of my relations, every one of my cousins, I think were there in Thurleston in Gaelic grounds after all those matches, which was just a lovely, lovely, lovely time as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose you probably had waited long enough to beat them, but what a way to do it after three games, and the last two of them went extra time. So definitely some brilliant memories there from the summer 2007. Ollie, thanks a million for your time today. We really appreciate you joining us, the Warriors.
Really enjoyed that chat there with Ollie. Really nice mix of stories from him. And it was good that he got the chance to give his view as the man that provided the assist for that iconic Dermot O'Sullivan point for Cork back in 2001 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Thanks a million to Ollie for his time and contribution. Before we go, a couple of other thanks are in order. First of all, to our producer, Kevin Brannigan, for his work on this podcast and the series. And to you, the 42 members, for all your support in helping this happen. Now, if you have an idea or request for a future episode, please feel free to get in touch. You can tweet me at FOTool13 or at Warriors_GA, and email sport@the42.ie as well if you have any suggestions. We'll be back next week with another guest and we'll chat to you then. Take care.
They compared Throne to the British Army. Once we crossed the border, we had no power. I think we've a better power now.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the